library. It is perhaps no surprise, then, that at one time Dee had possession of the mysterious and much sought-after Book of Life. Dee married three times, and is best known for his relationship with his third wife, Jane, and their large and unruly household. This included four sons and four daughters, as well as a number of servants and scientific assistants. Chief among those assistants was the notorious Edward Kelly, a persuasive man of questionable morals. Dee's association with Kelly began at a difficult and rather incautious moment in Dee's life. When they met in 1582, Dee had become impatient to learn and understand more than the universal laws of nature than had yet been revealed to him in his books. He focused on magic and the occult sciences, believing that angels, because they were closer to God, would be in possession of the knowledge he sought. Dee began to look for a person who could help him converse with these supernatural beings. Before Edward Kelly approached Dee, he had already employed a series of unsatisfactory scryers, or crystal gazers, to help him pierce the veil between the mortals and the all-knowing angels of heaven. To Dee's delight, Kelly proved to be an adept spiritual intermediary. Kelly's output was remarkable for its sheer volume as well as its complexity, and Kelly's reported conversations lent themselves to a great deal of study and interpretation. Many have thought Kelly's reports were fantastic flights of fancy, but Dee seems to have sincerely believed that Kelly was an authentic spiritual medium. In 1583, the Dee family and the Kellys began to travel throughout Europe, attempting to persuade other thinkers and rulers of the usefulness of their communication with angels. While in Prague in 1587, Edward Kelly revealed the extraordinary demand made by an angel, that the two men begin to share everything, including their wives. Initially dismayed, John Dee was soon convinced, and somehow he persuaded his wife to participate in the scheme. Although the two couples complied, this cross-matching marked the end of Dee's relationship with Kelly. Dee and his wife returned to their home in Mortlake, where Diana and Matthew visited them soon after. Following Jane's death in 1604 of the bubonic plague, the same outbreak that probably also killed three of his daughters, Dee spent the rest of his days a widower, in the company of his one surviving daughter. Robert Devereux. Full name, Robert Devereux, the Earl of Essex. Origin of name. Devereux is after the name of a town in Normandy. Date of birth, November 10, 1565. Astrological sign, Scorpio. Physical description. A long-legged man with a mop of curly hair and an insolent expression. A member of the Knights of the Garter, the Privy Council. Family and romantic relationships. A distant relative of Queen Elizabeth I, they were first cousins twice removed. At 20 years old, he became the ward of William Cecil, Lord Burghley. He married Frances Walsingham, daughter of Elizabeth I's spymaster, Sir Francis Walsingham, by whom he had three surviving children. He also fathered a son by his mistress, Elizabeth Southwell. Personal history. An English nobleman, Robert Devereux was a chivalrous and lively young man when he joined Elizabeth's court in 1584. He curried favor with Her Majesty by entertaining her at cards, dancing, and plying her with poetry and theatrical amusements. He was almost the polar opposite of Elizabeth's clever and conservative adviser, William Cecil. Where Cecil was a reserved and calculating man, Devereux was boyish, vivacious, and even dangerously impudent with the Queen. She found his temperament and attentions enlivening and attractive, and she encouraged his military career. Many others in Elizabeth's closest circle, including William Cecil and Walter Raleigh, as well as her vampire spy, Matthew Royden, warned her that Devereux was untrustworthy. But for years Elizabeth ignored their counsel. She had no equals in her court, and was constantly surrounded by formal or servile courtiers and advisers. Devereux's familiarity and flattering attention, from a man 33 years younger, was welcomed by this vain, increasingly lonely woman. Soon after Diana and Matthew left London and time walked back to the present, the relationship between the Queen and the Earl began to sour. Devereux made a series of brash and foolish missteps, including participating in Sir Francis Drake's English Armada against her wishes. Furthermore, he neglected to destroy the Spanish battle fleet when given the opportunity. He impulsively pursued their treasure ships instead, and left England vulnerable to Spain's navy. A few years later, after boldly promising to crush the Irish Rebellion, Devereux led a huge army of English soldiers into a series of costly and ineffectual battles, finally brokering a very poor truce with the Irish leader Hugh O'Neill, to the delight of the Irish and the dismay of Queen Elizabeth. On his return, Devereux was put on trial and placed under house arrest. Rather than seeking forgiveness, he became resentful and led a failed rebellion against Elizabeth. He was convicted of conspiring to slay the queen and executed on February 25th, 1601. It reportedly took three strokes of the axe to behead him. Juliette Durand. Origin of name. Durand has evolved in many different countries and derived from the Latin duro, meaning to harden or make enduring. Date of birth, late 17th century. Date of rebirth, late 17th century. Physical description. Juliette was mixed race, Afro-Caribbean and Caucasian, and appeared to be in her early 20s. She was startlingly beautiful, with fragile, delicate features and large, dark green eyes. Despite her beauty, there was something about her that seemed off, with the unmistakable signs of mental illness. Family and romantic relationships. Juliette was a daughter of Gébert d'Aurillac and an agent of his twisted plans. One of those plans involved Juliette becoming close to Matthew, a relationship that did not end well. Personal history. Juliette was a beautiful tragedy of a vampire. Rescued from the brothels of Cairo in the late 17th century by Gébert d'Aurillac, she found herself in a darker, though more luxurious, hell. Gébert carefully selected Juliette from the prostitutes on offer because he felt she would appeal to Matthew Clermont's appetite for the exotic outsider. After turning her into a vampire, Gébert carefully molded her into Matthew's perfect partner, training her to know philosophy and science, to like the music Matthew liked, to understand the art that Matthew collected. Juliette became Gébert's Trojan horse, designed to be pushed inside the de Clermont family and to bring down Gébert's old enemies by uncovering their secrets. Gébert's training methods unfortunately drove Juliette mad. At first, even her madness was welcome, as it made Matthew even more protective and devoted. Over the decades, however, it made her more difficult to control. Eventually, Matthew found out how Juliette came to be a vampire, and their relationship was destroyed. He left her in New York more than 100 years ago. Juliette was heartbroken, her mind irreparably fractured. When she disappeared, Matthew believed her to be a casualty of World War I. But Juliette survived and came back to exact the congregation's justice on Diana and Matthew, as well as her own personal revenge. Their terrifying confrontation in Madison would have ended with Matthew's death if it hadn't been for Diana's intervention. Instead, Juliette's troubled life ended in a ball of Diana's witch fire. E. Abraham ben Elijah of Helm. Full name and other names. Elijah Baal Shem. Eliyahu Baal Shem of Helm. Eliyahu ben Aaron Yehuda. Elijah, son of Aaron Judah. Origin of name. Elijah was a Hebrew prophet of the 9th century. The name means, "My God is Yahweh." In Hebrew, Baal Shem means master of the name. This refers to the practice of some Kabbalistic rabbis using the names of God to practice healing and blessing. Date of birth, 1550. Physical description. Young, but with worry creases around deep-set gray eyes and a graying dark brown beard when Diana met him. A member of the Helm Coven / Gathering. Personal history. Abraham ben Elijah was a Polish rabbi who served as chief rabbi of Helm. The Baal Shem came from his reputation for having created the first golem using a Shem, that is, letters from one of the holy names of God. He was also a weaver and a friend of Rabbi Low in 16th century Prague, which is where Diana met him. Etienne. A servant in 16th century Setour, who, along with fellow servant Thomas, looked after Diana Bishop. F. Ransom Fairweather. Origin of name. Fairweather has English and Scottish origins from the Middle English fair weather, and is a nickname for a person with a sunny temperament. Date of birth, February 14th, 1783. Astrological birth sign, Pisces. Date of rebirth, unknown. Physical description. Ransom's eyes are cold chips of green glass in an otherwise handsome, relaxed face. His hair is a rich mahogany brown. A member of the Domino Club. Family and romantic relationships. Ransom is Marcus Whitmore's eldest son from his lawless vampire brood in New Orleans. Matthew de Clermont is his grandsire. He is now part of the Bishop Clermont Scion. Personal history. Ransom Fairweather was sired by Marcus Whitmore, who in his carefree early days as a vampire, created his children from New Orleans' youngest and most errant citizens. Riotous and irresponsible, they risked discovery every time they went out after dark and attracted unwanted human attention. They also carried, unknowingly, the blood rage gene. Matthew was dispatched by the de Clermonts to get rid of his son's troublesome children, and Juliette assisted him in the gruesome task. Ransom, a man who Galloglass says would put Lucifer to shame, survived Matthew and Juliette's cull of his brothers and sisters, and is now the owner of New Orleans' Domino Club on Royal Street. He never forgave Matthew for what he did, but has finally struck a truce with him and joined the Bishop Clermont Scion. Jacqueline Vautrelier Field. Date of birth, unknown. Family and romantic relationships. Jacqueline came from a French family. Her first husband was printer Thomas Vautrelier, and her second was Richard Field. Personal history. Jacqueline was a French Huguenot refugee, like her first husband, fleeing the wars of religion in her home country, following the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre, to set up a new life in England. Thomas soon became established in London as a printer, associated with producing books of Protestant theology as well as classical authors. Following his death, Jacqueline became a printer and collaborated with Richard Field, marrying him soon after. As a strong-minded young woman, Jacqueline was only too happy to give Diana all the advice she needed when she visited the Field shop in Blackfriars. Richard Field. Origin of name. Field is of Anglo-Saxon origin, from Feld, meaning variations of open country. This was a habitational name for someone who lived on land that had been cleared of forest, but not cultivated. Date of birth, 1561. A member of the Stationer's Company, London. Family and romantic relationships. Son of Henry Field, a tanner in Stratford-upon-Avon, and, it has been speculated, family friend of the Shakespeares. He married Jacqueline Vautrelier, widow of the Huguenot immigrant printer Thomas Vautrelier. Personal history. Richard Field, a printer and publisher who was based in Blackfriars, London, spent his early years with his family on Bridge Street in Stratford-upon-Avon. When his father died in August 1592, John Shakespeare, William Shakespeare's father, was one of the local officials who appraised the property he left. It is generally acknowledged that Richard and William would have known each other growing up. In 1579, Richard became an apprentice to the London printers George Bishop and Thomas Vautrelier. And when Vautrelier died in 1587, Richard worked with his widow, Jacqueline. Richard and Jacqueline eventually married in 1589, and it was their shop near Ludgate that Diana visited to pick up a book for Matthew. It is also where she bought her commonplace book. Shakespeare collaborated with the Fields, and Richard printed the early editions of three of his poems. Richard also printed books for other leading English publishers, including William Ponsonby, who published George Chapman's The Shadow of Night, as well as works that promoted the strong Protestant sympathies of him and his Huguenot wife. He rose to be one of the 22 master printers of the Stationer's Company, and died in 1624. Benjamin Fox. Full name and other names. Benjamin Fuchs, Benjamin de Clermont, Benjamin Ben Gabriel, Benjamin the Blessed, Nicky Ben. Origin of name. The name Fox has variations in Old English and German, Fuchs, referring to attributes of the animal and allusions to the cunning of a fox. Date of birth, circa 1075. Date of rebirth, first quarter of the 12th century. Physical description. Benjamin was not large or physically intimidating. He had dark blue eyes set in a long, pale face under dusky hair. a member of the Order of the Defeated Dragon. Family and romantic relationships. Benjamin was Matthew de Clermont's blood son, estranged from his father and banished from the de Clermont family. Sire of Father Hubbard, and in turn grandsire to Jack Blackfriars. He was linked with the notorious Erzsébet Báthory, as well as with a 12th century witch who gave birth to a vampire baby in Jerusalem, who died in infancy. The witch Isabel Gowdy was one of Benjamin's lovers and had his child, a bright boar named Janet Gowdy, grandmother to Janet Gowdy, who is now a member of the congregation. Personal history. Benjamin is the malevolence at the center of the All Souls world and the darkest manifestation of the vampire curse passed on to him by his sire. After his rebirth as a vampire, Benjamin's ambition was to revenge himself on Matthew and the de Clermonts, find the Book of Life, and discover the secret to conceiving his own child with a witch. As cunning as his name, Benjamin Fox learned to survive through manipulation and fear, and was a master of the art of disappearance. Originally a German crusader marching to the Holy Land with Count Amicio's army in 1096, Benjamin joined up with Godfrey de Clermont's knights when the Count's army was defeated in Hungary. In this way, he met Matthew de Clermont. At first, Matthew cultivated Benjamin as a valuable ally for the family. His mother was the daughter of a prominent merchant in the Levant, and he had learned some Hebrew and Arabic. But Matthew realized too late how mistaken he was to trust Benjamin. When Benjamin threatened to expose to humans in Jerusalem both the de Clermont family secrets and the existence of all creatures, Matthew lost control. Rather than killing Benjamin, Matthew punished him by turning him into the very thing he threatened to reveal. Matthew then disavowed Benjamin and left him to fend for himself during the first difficult years of vampire youth. Matthew didn't expect him to survive. Benjamin did survive, however, and built up a network of dangerous blood-rage vampire children, as well as allies, the most important of whom was Gébert d'Aurillac. As a member of the Order of the Defeated Dragon, Benjamin spent time in Hungary with the Draculeshti and Báthory families. He was also implicated in Erzsébet Báthory's gruesome murders there. Benjamin began searching for the Book of Life in the middle of the 14th century, before Matthew was interested in it. In his efforts to conceive his own child with a witch, he kidnapped and raped witches for centuries, largely around the area of Helm in Poland. The congregation turned a deaf ear to complaints because Benjamin was protected by Gébert. In 1662, Benjamin had an affair with a witch, Isabel Gowdy, in the Scottish Highlands, where he was known as Nicky Ben. He left her soon after, never knowing she was a weaver and had conceived what would be his bright-born child, Janet Gowdy. Benjamin's life was dedicated to exacting revenge on the de Clermont family and to creating his own personal army of powerful blood-rage vampires. He caused the de Clermonts huge anguish, right up until he was finally killed by Diana Bishop. Françoise. Françoise is a loyal vampire servant in Matthew's household, of French origin like Pierre, and described as a raw-boned woman. G. Benjamin Ben Gabriel. A friend of Rabbi Lowe in Prague, and another name under which Benjamin Fox concealed himself. Galloglass. Full name, Galloglass de Clermont. Origin of name. Galloglasses, meaning foreign warriors, were elite mercenaries drawn largely from Norse Gaelic clans between the mid-13th and late 16th centuries. They were Gaels who had intermarried with the 10th century Norse settlers of western Scotland. Date of birth, unknown. Date of rebirth, unknown. Physical description. Galloglass is built like a Viking warrior and looks no more than 30 years old. When Diana thinks of the de Clermont vampires in animal terms, to her, Galloglass is a bear. He has collar-length blonde hair, wide blue eyes, a nose that looks like it's been broken, and tattoos that snake around his body. They tell a complicated tale, changing frequently. Tattoos last only a few months on a vampire, depending on his feelings. In the present day, he wears scruffy clothes, t-shirts, and ripped jeans, and is called Sir Vagabond by Isabeau. A member of the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. Galloglass is the full-blooded son of Hugh de Clermont and grandson of Philippe de Clermont. He is godfather to Philip, Bishop Clermont. Personal history. Galloglass is a loyal and devoted member of the de Clermont family, despite times when he wishes he had fallen in battle to someone other than Hugh de Clermont. When Hugh gave Galloglass his new life, Philippe approved his choice. Like Hugh, Galloglass is a brave and noble warrior who cares little for the practicalities of life, such as running a household. Galloglass's lineage is Norse Gael, and he mentions that his family was Ulfhernar, the legendary Norse wolf-coat warriors. He remembers his birth-grandfather casting runes and uttering prophecies, and he recalls watching the Aurora Borealis from the sandy shores where his father lived in the Outer Hebrides on the Isle of Lewis, Scotland. He keeps a small leather pouch of runes, consulting them when he needs a little extra help navigating his future. When his blood father, Hugh, was executed in France, Galloglass exacted his revenge on the men who betrayed him. But it was centuries before he would set foot in France again, so deep were his grief and anger. One of Galloglass's close companions in arms in the Knights of Lazarus is vampire Davy Gams, Hancock, and they work together carrying out Matthew's commands. Despite Galloglass's gnawing wish to belong, he has spent the last few hundred years as a drifter, moving from place to place by sea, rail, and then motorbike, waiting for the signs that he had to return to set tour. Philippe made him and Véran de Clermont promise to see that Diana was accepted into the family once the time was right. Sadly, Philippe's command for Galloglass to watch over Diana until she met Matthew took a toll on his grandson. Galloglass has been Diana's secret guardian since her birth, waiting for the day his uncle would meet and marry the woman Galloglass loved. Davy Gam. Full name and other names. Hancock. Sir Dafydd ap Llywelyn ap Hwyl. Dafydd Gam. Origin of name. Gam is taken from the Welsh word gam, meaning lame or deformed. Date of birth, circa 1380. Date of rebirth, October 27, 1415. Astrological rebirth sign. Scorpio. Physical description. Davy Gam is redheaded, with bushy red eyebrows and the brawny build of a warrior. A member of the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. Davy's birth parentage is of a Welsh noble family in Breconshire, who claimed ancient lineage back to the kings of Brechinyog. Davy's father was Llywelyn ap Hwyl, and his maker was Godfrey de Clermont. Davy is married to a vampire named Bethan, who also goes under the name Lizzie. Personal history. The name of Davy Gam, friend and companion in arms to Galloglass, is both revered and reviled in Welsh history, depending on who is telling the story. His family, based in South Wales, had grown in power and influence through loyalty to their English overlords, the Lords of Brecon, from the 13th century. There are records of Dafydd and his brother's allegiance to Henry Bolingbroke as Earl of Brecon, and later when he became King Henry IV at the end of the 14th century. When Owen Glyndwr and his men rose up against the English crown in Wales, Dafydd and his family stayed loyal to their English allies and led the opposition to the rebellion in their area. Initially victorious, Dafydd was later captured by Owen's men in 1412, and the new young King Henry V paid his ransom swiftly to ensure his safe return. Dafydd's allegiance to the king then took him to the Battle of Agincourt, where his death is confirmed from many sources. Legend stipulates this happened while he was saving the king's life, but it has been widely discounted by historians. Dafydd is often seen as a figure of the loyal and valiant Welshman, and Davy Gam is named in Shakespeare's Henry V as one of the noble fallen. His grandson, through his daughter, was William Herbert, who went on to become the powerful first Earl of Pembroke. At Agincourt, Davy was reborn as Hancock, given a new life in service to the de Clermont and the Knights of Lazarus, as the gruff warrior whom Diana met on arriving in England in 1590. David Gans. Full name. Rabbi Dovid Solomon Gans. Date of birth, 1541. Physical description. He was around 50 when Diana met him, with a thick gray beard and heavy brow bones that shielded his eyes. His shoulders had the chronic stoop, typical of most scholars. Personal history. When Rabbi Lowe took Diana into the Jewish quarter to meet the weaver Abraham, she was greeted by him and his friend David Ganz. Ganz was an astronomer, a mathematician, and a Jewish chronicler, perhaps most famous today for his History of the Jews, Tzemach David. He is buried in the old Jewish cemetery in Prague. Fernando Gonçalves. Origin of name. Gonçalves is of Portuguese origin, meaning son of Gonçalo. Date of birth, unknown. Date of rebirth, unknown. Physical description. Fernando has dark hair and deep brown eyes, with broad shoulders and a fit physique. A member of the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. Fernando was Hugh de Pelmol's mate, and still considers himself so, despite Hugh's death. He is close to Hugh's stepbrother Matthew, as well as Hugh's son, Gallo Glass, and is part of the de Clermont network, though some in the family, including Philippe, did not acknowledge his position as Hugh's mate. He is godfather to Diana and Matthew's daughter, Rebecca Bishop Clermont. Personal history. Fernando Gonçalves's birth family history is hazy, as is the identity of his maker. He had six happy centuries with his mate, Hugh de Clermont, many of which they spent in Cordoba. When Philippe and the de Clermont family became too much for Hugh, he often escaped with Fernando to their homes on the Iberian Peninsula. Fernando is a calm, caring figure, always seeing to other people's needs. In his relationship with Hugh, Fernando was the one who managed the practical side of their lives, keeping their household running smoothly, and making sure Hugh turned up for battle with a sword rather than a book of poetry. Fernando is also a talented cook. After Hugh died at the beginning of the 14th century, Fernando turned down Matthew's offer to lead the Knights of Lazarus and avoided Septour. But he always maintained his friendship with Matthew and Gallo Glass. Now, as a member of the Bishop Clermont Scion and godfather to Diana and Matthew's daughter, he is in the center of a new family. Isabel Gaudi. Date of birth, circa 1632. A member of Oldturn Covern. Family and romantic relationships. Great-grandmother of the modern-day witch Janet Gaudi, lover of vampire Benjamin de Clermont. Personal history. Isabel Gaudi was a witch and a weaver from Oldturn in Nairnshire, Scotland. In 1662, she was tried for witchcraft. Rather than denying the charges, she told a colorful story of meeting with a witch's coven, feasting with the king and queen of the fairies, and being baptized by the devil with her own blood after he sucked it out of her shoulder. Some humans believe she was deluded or psychotic, while others believe she made up these stories to avoid torture. Her execution is not recorded, but some stories report that she was strangled, a sign of mercy for having confessed, before being burned at the stake. Shortly prior to being tried for witchcraft, Isabel Gaudi had a passionate affair with the vampire Benjamin de Clermont and gave birth to the bright-born child, Janet Gaudi. During the trial, Isabel reported having had sex with the devil. For anyone acquainted with Benjamin de Clermont, her mistake is understandable. Janet Gaudi. Origin of name. Gaudi is an old Scottish name and a variant of Goody or Goldie. Date of birth, May 11th, 1841. Astrological sign, Taurus. Physical description. Has a broad Scottish accent, an unlined and ageless round face with a dimpled smile, white hair and twinkling gray eyes. A member of the congregation. Family and romantic relationships. Janet's grandmother, Janet Gaudi, was a brightborn, the child of a passionate affair between vampire Benjamin Fox and weaver Isabel Gaudi. Personal history. Janet Gaudi is a modern witch, well known for her spellcasting abilities and a member of one of the most respected witch families in Scotland. After Peter Knox was forced to leave his seat on the congregation because of his involvement in Emily Mather's death, the other witches persuaded Janet Gaudi to come out of semi-retirement and take his seat. When Diana appeared at her first congregation meeting at Isola della Stella, Janet was the only witch there to greet her warmly, and she spoke kindly of Diana's parents. Unlike other members of the congregation, Janet was unsurprised by Diana's revelations about the existence of Benjamin and his horrifying efforts to create a vampire witch child by raping a kidnapped witch. This is because Janet, too, knows the secret that the witch has discovered long ago. that some witches can conceive a child with vampires who have blood rage, and that those children, the Brightborn, are powerful creatures who possess some of the qualities of both parents. Janet's great-grandmother, Isabel Gowdy, was a weaver who'd had a love affair with the vampire Benjamin Fox, though Isabel knew him then as Nicky Ben. Eventually, Benjamin moved on, never knowing that he and Isabel had conceived a child. That child was the first Janet Gowdy, and she lived for 250 years. She inherited long life and the terrifying, lethal temper of her vampire father, plus a bit of magic from her mother. The first Janet Gowdy delighted in her Brightborn powers, and in the fact that her exploits spawned the legend of the Bovin She. These were mythological female creatures of the Scottish Highlands who were said to prey upon young men by luring them with magical enchantments, attacking them with sharp talons, and sucking their blood. Janet passed her longevity down to her daughter, and then on to her granddaughter and namesake, Janet Gowdy of the Congregation, who is still going strong at 169 years of age. H. Erasmus Habermel. Origin of name. Habermel, or Habermel, is of German origin and an occupational name, referring to someone who is a producer or trader in oats. Haber. Date of birth, circa 1538. Physical description. Diana encountered a thin man who had a workman's scarred hands. Personal history. An astonishingly prolific instrument maker in the late 16th century, Erasmus Habermel was probably born in southern Germany, but not much is known about his background. His beautiful and functional astronomical and mathematical instruments brought him to the attention of Holy Roman Emperor Rudolf II, and Rudolf appointed him royal instrument maker at his court in Prague. There he worked alongside the astronomers, alchemists, and many other artists and instrument makers whom Rudolf had gathered around him. In Prague, Habermel lived with his wife in the Malastrana neighborhood, near Diana and Matthew's home. Soon after the emperor met Diana, he commissioned Habermel to produce an astronomical compendium custom-made to her specifications. Even though Habermel had to guess wildly at the coordinates for the North American colony of Roanoke, Diana appreciated the intricate craftsmanship and utility of Habermel's compendium. He died in Prague in 1606. Tadeusz Hayek. Origin of name. Hayek is of Czech origin and an occupational name for a woodman or someone who lived next to a grove. Haj, meaning grove. Date of birth, December 1st, 1525. Astrological sign, Sagittarius. Physical description. A kindly looking man who was around 60 when Diana met him. Family and romantic relationships. Tadeusz Hayek, from an old Prague family, had three wives, three sons, and one daughter. Personal history. Tadeusz Hayek was born in Prague and was a student of botany, astronomy, astrology, mathematics, and medicine. Hayek was active as a lecturer in those fields and corresponded vigorously with other scientists in his city of birth, as well as throughout Europe, including John Dee. His scientific interests were varied. For example, he published one of the first books on brewing beer, titled On Beer and the Methods of Its Preparation, Its Substance, Strengths, and Effects, and wrote another that explained how to make medical diagnoses based on a combination of divination and the study of the placement of moles on the body. During his lifetime, Hayek was perhaps best known as an astronomer and for his position as physician to the Holy Roman Emperor Rudolf II. Hayek met Diana at Rudolf's palace for the first time, although he was already acquainted with her husband, Matthew. Thomas Harriot. Origin of name. Harriot is possibly of French origin, or Scottish from Harriet. Date of birth, circa 1560. Physical description. Slender, with a pointed chin, red hair, and a dark complexion. A member of the School of Night. Family and romantic relationships. He never married and lived with various patrons, including members of the School of Night. Personal history. Thomas Harriot was a brilliant mathematician and astronomer, as well as a talented linguist and alchemist. With a demonic curiosity, he unfortunately had a habit of making scientific discoveries that he then failed to publish. Very little is known of Thomas Hariot's youth or early life before he attended Oxford in 1580. He later moved to London, where he began to work for Walter Raleigh, and became part of the circle of thinkers and scholars known as the School of Night. Under Raleigh's employ, Hariot soon demonstrated his value as a cartographer and navigational tutor. He also contributed significantly to the design and construction of Raleigh's ships, in addition to hiring sailors, raising funds, and keeping the accounts for Raleigh's voyages. In England, Hariot met two native Croatian people, Monteo and Juanchez, who were visiting the country after meeting English explorers in their native land. Hariot learned the Carolinian Algonquin language from Monteo, as well as other information that proved useful to the English colonists. Juanchez refused to speak with the English, suspicious of their colonial motives. Hariot visited the English colonies in 1585 and wrote a book, a brief and true report of the newfound land of Virginia, the only work he published during his lifetime. As Raleigh's reputation began to decline after 1592, Hariot was compelled to seek employment elsewhere. He was taken on by another member of the School of Night, Henry Percy, the 9th Earl of Northumberland. But soon after Queen Elizabeth's death in 1603, Walter Raleigh and then Henry Percy came under suspicion from her successor, King James I. Each was imprisoned in the Tower of London, as was Hariot, albeit more briefly. Throughout his association with Raleigh and Percy, Hariot continued to make significant discoveries in the fields of ballistics, navigational techniques, algebra, optics. He discovered the sine law of refraction of light before Snell. And astronomy. He was the first to discover sunspots. Sadly, many of his ideas perished for want of a publisher. Hariot continued to do scientific work up until his death in 1621, but he never published anything more, possibly out of a desire to avoid attention that might land him in the Tower again. Due to the recent, fortunate discovery in the All Souls' World of a telescope engraved with Hariot's name, however, we now have evidence to confirm what many historians of science have long suspected, that Thomas Hariot, not Galileo, created the first telescope in 1591. Vivian Harrison. Origin of name. Harrison is of Anglo-Saxon origin, meaning son of Harry. Harry as an alternative form of Henry. Date of birth, circa 1960s. Physical description. Shoulder-length silver hair and emerald green eyes. A member of the Madison Coven. Family and romantic relationships. Vivian's roots lie in an old Hamilton family from Connecticut. She is married to Roger Harrison and godmother to Rebecca Bishop Claremont. Personal history. Vivian is a bulldozer, according to Sarah Bishop, and a sharp, observant witch. Like the bishops, the women of her family have kept their name regardless of marriage. Vivian's husband, Roger, went one step further and changed his last name from Barker to Harrison when they got married, something that has earned him a spot in the Madison Coven annals for his willingness to honor tradition. Vivian is the high priestess of the Madison Coven and Sarah's accountant. Margaret Hawley. Origin of name. Hawley is of Anglo-Saxon origins and a place name. Date of birth. Unknown. Family and romantic relationships. Married to Robert Hawley, with whom she had several children. Personal history. Margaret Hawley was Robert's gimlet-eyed wife, who kept close watch over their children, as well as over Robert's unmarried male apprentices and his many customers. As an Elizabethan housewife, Margaret would have been expected to cook and sew for her household, manage the domestic economy, govern their servants and apprentices, plus be her husband's partner in his shoemaking business. 16th-century housewives kept a sharp eye on the goings-on in the households of their neighborhoods, too, and expected that their neighbors should do the same. This dragnet of feminine domestic surveillance is why it was almost impossible for Diana, or indeed for any man, woman, or child, to enjoy a shred of privacy in 16th-century London. Robert Hawley. Date of birth, unknown. Family and romantic relationships. Married to Margaret Hawley, with whom he had several children. Personal history. Robert Hawley was a shoemaker who lived with his wife and children at the Hart and Crown, a half-timbered two-story building on London's Water Lane. The building possessed the unusual luxury of an interior courtyard, and Matthew Royden, his wife Diana, and their servants and family had rooms on the first floor there. In a world where most people made their living on their feet, shoemaking was a useful and common trade, and the sheer bulk of his account book suggests that Robert was an ambitious and productive craftsman. He seems to have married a woman who was every bit his equal in ambition and productivity. Hector and Fallon. Matthew's devoted dogs at present-day Septour. John Hester. Origin of name. Hester has old Germanic origins, connected to the name Heister, and speculated to be an occupational name for a town crier, a civic official who made announcements. Date of birth, unknown. Personal history. John Hester was a well-known and respected apothecary and alchemist, with a shop on St. Paul's Wharf by the Thames in 16th century London. He was known for his sealing wax and his excellent ink made from iris flowers, as well as his books of medical cures and a rather higher class of customers. Mary Sidney, Countess of Pembroke, for instance, used his migraine remedy for her son's headaches. Historians know John Hester for his English translations of foreign medical treatises, which he contended would provide practical remedies for ordinary citizens, if they managed to survive the often toxic cures or addictive opiates he advised and dispensed. As a supporter of the physician Paracelsus's medical ideas, Hester was a manufacturer of chemical medicines. When Diana time-traveled to London in 1590, she needed an acceptable excuse to wander through London's crowded streets in search of a witch to serve as her tutor, and Hester's shop provided the perfect pretext for an excursion. While she had no evidence that Hester was a witch, and indeed he was not, Diana heard of his superior products and his excellent location near the crowded churchyard of St. Paul's. She was intercepted by George Chapman on her way to Hester's shop, and never made his acquaintance, but was able to purchase one of his medical books at a different apothecary, which she learned was the Elizabethan equivalent of a general store. Nicholas Hilliard. Origin of name. Nicholas is a name of Greek origins, meaning victory of the people. The name Hilliard has Anglo-Saxon and Germanic roots. Date of birth. Circa 1547. Physical description. When Diana met him, Nicholas had a pointed beard and dark hair peppered with gray. A member of the Worshipful Company of Goldsmiths. Family and romantic relationships. Hilliard was the son of an English Protestant goldsmith, Richard Hilliard from Devon. He was married to Alice Brandon, and they had 7 children together. Personal history. Nicholas Hilliard was an English painter and a goldsmith who, coincidentally, lived for some of his childhood with John Bodley's family, including Bodley's young son Thomas, later the founder of Oxford's Bodleian Library. As a young man, Hilliard apprenticed himself to the Queen's jeweler, Robert Brandon, and by the early 1570s he was one of Queen Elizabeth's goldsmiths and limners, painters of miniatures. He and his able assistant, Isaac Oliver, also limned many portraits for Scotland's King James and his court. Hilliard soon became a favored artist at both courts. In the mid-1570s, Hilliard married Brandon's daughter, Alice, and they went on to have a large family. Hilliard's portraits are famed for their ability to capture the spirit of his subjects. He eschewed the drama offered by the shadows of chiaroscuro painting, preferring instead to paint his subjects with full light on their faces, which he thought best displayed their true selves. Believing that his paintings laid open the inner lives and secrets of his subjects, Hilliard felt that they ought to be for private viewing only. Many of his clients seemed to agree, including Queen Elizabeth, who kept a collection of his miniatures locked in a personal cabinet in her bedroom. In addition to his numerous royal portraits of Elizabeth and James, Hilliard also painted many prominent Elizabethan courtiers, including Sir Walter Raleigh, Mary Sidney, the Countess of Pembroke, and Henry Percy, the Earl of Northumberland. Always hard up for cash, Hilliard eventually began to paint portraits for lesser gentry, and even well-off merchants. Given such a prolific output, the names of many of his subjects have been lost over time or misidentified, including 2 of a mysterious couple painted in the 1590s. Joris Hofnagel. Origin of name. Joris is the Dutch form of George, which has Greek origins, meaning earth worker or farmer. Date of birth, 1542. Family and romantic relationships. Hofnagel was the son of a diamond dealer in Antwerp. He married Suzanne van Ochem in 1571, and they had a son, Jacob, who also became an artist. Personal history. Joris Hofnagel was one of the foremost painters of the late 16th century. A Flemish artist famous for his powers of keen observation, Hofnagel often worked in miniature, sometimes painting beautiful and finely detailed portraits of humans. But his artwork also included intricate drawings of landscapes, insects, flowers, and plants. He is known too for his calligraphic manual and his mythical representations. He did not hesitate to paint challenging subjects, like a split apple, or a pea pod, or the glittering, iridescent body of an insect. And indeed, one suspects that he might have chosen those subjects precisely for their difficulty. Hofnagel traveled extensively in Europe, living and working at various times in Antwerp, London, Munich, Venice, Rome, and of course, Prague, where he encountered Diana and Matthew in the winter of 1591. Upon meeting Hofnagel, Diana immediately realized that very little escaped his notice. Hofnagel's renown had brought him to the attention of the Holy Roman Emperor Rudolf II, who was an enthusiastic collector of artists and their work. Under Rudolf's patronage, artists from all over Europe gathered in the city of Prague, and the more prominent ones, like Hofnagel, were installed in workshops and residences within and near the imperial palace. Hofnagel was pressed into service to design and create an elaborate set for Diana's mask, in which Rudolf, she, and Matthew performed the story of Zeus, Diana, and Endymion, respectively. Those set pieces, unfortunately, have not survived. However, many modern museums have paintings by Hofnagel, from the J. Paul Getty in Los Angeles and the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, to the Palazzo Ducale in Venice. Hofnagel might have drawn inspiration from that memorable performance in Rudolf's palace, because in 1597 he completed a painting titled Diana and Actine, which now resides in the Louvre in Paris. Andrew Hubbard. Other name, Father Hubbard. Origin of name. Hubbard is derived from an ancient Anglo-Saxon and Old German name, Hubert or Hugebert, using the elements hug, meaning heart, spirit, mind, and bort, meaning bright, famous. A medieval parish church called St. Andrew Hubbard once stood in the Billingsgate ward of the City of London, but it was destroyed in the Great Fire of 1666. Date of birth, circa 1310. Date of rebirth, circa 1349. Physical description. Father Hubbard is tall and thin, with slightly stooped, broad shoulders and somber clothes fitting for a priest. His slate-colored eyes provide notes of contrast in his otherwise pallid appearance and pale, clean-shaven face. He has blonde hair. Family and romantic relationships. The vampire king of London, Andrew Hubbard embraces countless creatures in his family, protecting them and expecting full loyalty in return. His flock included the witch Annie Undercroft and later Jack Blackfriars, whom he made into a vampire. Hubbard's sire was Benjamin Fox. His grandsire, Matthew de Clermont. Personal history. Andrew Hubbard's origins are a mystery to many creatures. At the time the Black Death first visited England and wiped out nearly half of London by 1349, Hubbard helped care for the sick and bury the dead before he himself succumbed to the plague. Legend has it that he dug his own grave and climbed into it. Then he was brought back to life by a mysterious vampire, later revealed to be Benjamin Fox. Benjamin hoped Hubbard would have blood rage and that Fox could use him to raise an army against the de Clermont and their allies. But Hubbard disappointed him and broke away, organizing his own network and becoming famous as the vampire leader of London, gathering up orphans, widows, and any other lost souls who crossed his path through the centuries. He turned those who fell ill into vampires and regarded them all, witches, demons, and vampires, as his children. In return for protection, he expected them to offer their blood, which Hubbard claimed revealed their souls to him, and provided proof God had entrusted them to his care. In fact, it laid bare their secrets and gave him power over them. Philippe de Clermont reached an agreement with Hubbard that the de Clermont in London were exempt from his rituals of allegiance, and they lived a wary coexistence. Matthew often argued with Hubbard about where the boundaries of his domain extended, considering it to include only the city of London. Hubbard did not show signs of blood rage, but he passed it on to his son, Jack Blackfriars, and warned Jack that he must not create other vampires himself. He wasn't able to protect Jack from Benjamin's poisonous influence, however. Hubbard still lives in his domain of London in a converted church, Christ Church Greyfriars, drawing lost souls of all species and ages into his brood. Frau Huber. Frau Huber was a clever Austrian woman of Malostrana in 16th century Prague. Along with the other housewives of the neighborhood, she collected gossip about the goings-on in Rudolf II's palace as avidly as she kept watch over the vegetable merchants and neighbors' households. When in Prague, Diana made Frau Huber's acquaintance, and through her and her elaborate chain of relationships, managed to gain entrance to Edward Kelly's home in Prague. I. Master Iffley. A glover in 16th century Woodstock, Iffley was a clumsy, obtuse man with an unfortunate rodent-like appearance and an inflated opinion of his own importance. Having made one pair of gloves for the Queen, Iffley reckoned he was now a man of standing in Woodstock, and he accompanied the Reverend Danforth to the Old Lodge in order to accuse Diana Bishop of witchcraft. J. Elizabeth Jackson. Elizabeth Jackson, tall and straight, with steely gray hair and eyes, was an elderly water witch and a gifted seer in 16th century London. A member of the St. James Garlickhithe Gathering, she helped Diana harness and understand her power. Rima Hayen. Rima is a Spanish librarian of Berber descent, whose first name comes from the Spanish word for story or tale. She's curvy, with warm skin and almond-shaped eyes. Rima was employed in the Gonsalves Library, a small and impoverished specialist archive in 21st century Seville, Spain, which houses an eclectic collection of books and manuscripts. There are hidden treasures at the Gonsalves, including a dusty discovery that Rima unearthed, an English commonplace book from the late 16th century. Rima was forced out of her job there and found employment at the Congregation's library on the Isola della Stella in Venice after the previous librarian and secretary, traditionally always a human, died of a heart attack. There she finally met the original owner of the small book when Diana took the de Clermont seat at the Congregation's table. Satu Järvinen. Origin of name. Satu is a Finnish name, meaning fairy tale or fable. Date of birth, November 8, 1975. Astrological sign, Scorpio. Physical description. In her 30s, with fair skin, blue eyes, and platinum blonde hair. She is small and strong. A member of the congregation. Family and romantic relationships. Satu was born in Lapland and has witch parents. Personal history. Satu Järvinen was able to work spells before she could talk or read. There had been witches like her before in her small Finnish village, but legends say that one day strangers came and killed them all. Satu doesn't understand why her powers are different from those of other witches. She only knows that they pose a threat to her family and herself. She has learned to pass as an ordinary witch, but in truth Satu is one of the world's few surviving weavers. She is also a wind witch and an accomplished flyer. Satu's spellcasting abilities brought her to the attention of the congregation, and she has been groomed to occupy the seat she now holds. She is one of Knox's allies and has cultivated a careful relationship with Gebert, mainly because she doesn't trust him. When Satu met Diana Bishop, she recognized that the two of them were similar. From this point, Diana became her greatest enemy, and Diana felt the full force of her cruelty at La Pierre. Satu feared that if Diana's hidden abilities were exposed, her own would be too. This makes Satu a deadly opponent, as she believes only Diana's destruction will keep her safe from harm. Diana later had her revenge and spellbound Satu. Jeanne. An attractive and biddable serving maid in Philippe de Clermont's household at Sept Tours, in 16th century France, and the older sister of Catherine. Both Jeanne and Catherine served Diana Bishop as ladies' maids. Jeanne in particular helped Diana look the part of a fashionable lady and bride, using the education in French fashion she'd acquired when serving Louise de Clermont in Paris only a year earlier. Joan. Maid to Mary Sidney, the Countess of Pembroke, in 16th century London, Joan served variously as maidservant, alchemical laboratory assistant, and on occasion a kind friend to young Annie Undercroft, Diana and Matthew's adolescent charge. Cardinal Joyeuse. Full name, Cardinal François de Joyeuse. Date of birth, June 24, 1562. Astrological sign, Cancer. Family and romantic relationships. Son of Guillaume de Joyeuse and Eleanor de Beauharnais, and one of a family of soldiers and bishops. Personal history. The cardinal was a visitor to the seaside abbey at Mont-Saint-Michel in the 16th century, where he unexpectedly met Matthew and Diana on their hurried journey to Sept Tours. Born in Carcassonne, Cardinal Joyeuse came from a deeply religious family with connections to the French monarchy. After attending university, he rose quickly through the ranks of the Catholic Church while remaining close to the French crown. With such credentials, it's unsurprising that Cardinal Joyeuse and Mathieu de Clermont were well acquainted, since they shared much more than their Catholic spiritual convictions. Both were caught up in the religious wars and political intrigue of Protestants and Catholics in France and England at the end of the 16th century. K. Carolina. Carolina is a servant and a cook in the household of Sporengus in Prague. Along with Teresa, the housekeeper, she is a member of a sprawling clan of bohemian vampires dedicated to serving the aristocracy and important foreign visitors to Prague, who earned their reputation and large salaries because of their preternatural longevity and wolfish loyalty. Edward Kelly. Other name, Edward Talbot. Origin of name. Kelly is possibly an anglicized version of Scottish and Irish Gaelic variations. Date of birth, August 1, 1555. Astrological sign, Leo. Physical description. He had a long, unkempt beard and wore a dark skullcap that hid his ears. Family and romantic relationships. Married to Joanna Kelly and stepfather to her two children. There is speculation that he also fathered a son with Jane Dee, but this is not borne out by the records of Jane's menstrual cycles kept by her husband, John Dee. Personal history. Edward Kelly, the assistant to Dr. John Dee and later alchemist in the court of Rudolf II, came from obscure beginnings. His youth and education are unknown, though he might have been born with the name Edward Talbot and may have attended university, perhaps Oxford. It is certain that somewhere along the way he learned a considerable amount of Latin and Greek. Edward Talbot probably changed his name to Edward Kelly because of an unsavory past. He is believed to have been convicted of forgery, been pilloried, and had his ears cropped for punishment. For the rest of his life, Kelly made a habit of wearing a close-fitting cap, probably to hide the loss of his ears, a telltale mark of his criminal conviction. In 1582, Kelly approached John Dee, who was in need of a scryer to speak with angels, and Kelly demonstrated a remarkable aptitude for the job. Over the next decade, he and Dee invested countless hours engaged in conversations with various spirits, in an effort to uncover hitherto hidden knowledge about the natural world. Despite the toll this took on both men and their families, Kelly had married widow Joanna Weston and welcomed her two children into his household. Dee seemed willing to continue their efforts indefinitely. Finally, Edward Kelly revealed to Dee that the spirit of Madimi had commanded them to share everything, including their wives. After some prayerful and pained soul-searching, the Dees and Joanna Kelly complied with this request, but the episode marked the end of their association. The Dees left Prague, where they had traveled together. In the meantime, Kelly continued to work on as an alchemist in Prague, a profession that over time appeared to hold rather more prestige and promise than did employment as Dee's scryer. Queen Elizabeth was most eager to have Kelly return to England, where she believed, despite Matthew Royden's skepticism, that he was close to discovering the Philosopher's Stone. The Holy Roman Emperor Rudolf believed the same, and through a combination of inducements and threats, kept Kelly working long hours at his court. This is where Matthew and Diana